Hello, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and in this episode, we're going to talk about how to make money during the next downturn, and maybe how to make a lot of money. So the way to get rich is to take risk. The more risk you take, the higher the probability of making a higher return, but the higher probability of losing your money. So all the people who you see on Earth who are very, very wealthy are the ones who took a massive, massive amount of risk. And on the downside, there are people like, let's say, John Paulson, who shorted mortgage-backed securities during the financial crisis and made over $1 billion. And then on the upside, there are entrepreneurs who gave up their careers and so forth to really, really, really focus on their idea. And one guy, of course, is Jeff Bezos from Amazon, who quit his probably like $500,000 a year job to go work on this idea. And boom, now he's worth over $100 billion. The point of this podcast is to really encourage people to think about what they'd do in the next downturn. And one way to do that is to think about what happened in the previous downturn and what you did with your investments, how you felt, and so forth. Well, for me, the last downturn in 2008, 2009, I lost about 35% of my net worth, and I don't plan on doing that again. One, because my net worth is much larger now than it was back then, and I hope the same is for all of you. And two, I have a son to provide for. So, you know, I don't want to have to go back to work so I don't see him anymore. I mean, my goal is to stay at home, work from home, so I can see him for as much as possible the first 5 years of his life. And I don't want to have my wife have to go back to work either, because she doesn't like work and she loves spending time with our son as well. Realistically, my target scenario during a recession is to stay flat. But my blue sky scenario is to actually try and make lots of money as the world collapses all around. So here's my plan on how to do it and how you might too if you've accumulated enough money or are planning to retire within the next 5 years. And I do want to point out that every single time I post an investment-related post or an investment-related podcast, people come out of the woodwork and project their financial situation onto me and onto the post and podcast. Please be aware that everybody is in a different financial situation. There are different ages, different net worth amounts, different journeys, different desires for how much you want to work, and so forth. Therefore, whatever you think is your right idea is great. That's your idea for you. I'm trying to present some ideas for those who want to make money during a downturn, or who want to try to make money during a downturn, or who wants to try to preserve capital and not get too stressed out. So perhaps this post is better for more suitable for folks over the age of 40. Again, I think for those of you guys who've accumulated enough money or are planning to retire within the next 5 years, this podcast post is quite relevant to you. And for those of you who are under 40 and who are really, you know, just trying to build your financial nut, maybe not so much, but it's good to think about. So the first thing to do in terms of how to make money during the next downturn is to be okay no longer making money during an upturn. In other words, you must methodically sell off risk assets like stocks and real estate the longer we go in the cycle. So we need to understand what is a typical cycle based on history. So bull markets last on average about 8 years each, and bear markets last about 1.5 years each. This is data since 1930. So with such information, we can calculate how long this bull run has lasted and whether it's a good time to take risk off the table. So let's say we can assume the bull market started in 2010, then 2018 is the 9th year of the current cycle. And given the average bull market lasts 8 years, we can say, maybe, based on history, we are 1 year overdue, and that over the next 3 years, let's say we're 40% beyond the average bull run, so 10, 11 years, there's probably a chance, I would say a good chance, that we're going to hit a recession. You know, we've got the Fed starting to tighten aggressively, valuations are close to all-time highs, earnings growth on a year-over-year basis is slowing. So we can conclude, hey, taking some risk off the table is a good idea. So the second step is to be at least neutral when the cycle turns. So what does neutral mean? Neutral means having an equal amount of defensive positions versus offensive positions, or being 100% in cash or cash equivalents, or being net short. So remember, if you move 100% of your investable assets to cash or CDs or US Treasury bonds, you will make around 3% guaranteed on your money based on today's risk-free rate. Now, by the time the cycle turns, let's say in 1-2 years, maybe tomorrow, who knows, interest rates will be higher, right? The Fed is planning on raising interest rates again on June 13, 2018, and then maybe in 1 or 2 more times in 2018, another 2 or 3 times in 2019. It's a long cycle. So maybe that guaranteed rate of return is higher than 3%. So you've got to think to yourself, if you've already made 200 to 250% in the S&P 500 since 2010, is it so bad to only make 3% a year instead of, let's say, 8% a year in the S&P 500 if you have to take more risk? If your property equity is up 500% since 2012 because you own in San Francisco, Seattle, New York, Vancouver, Toronto, Hong Kong, Singapore, London, I mean, basically all the major cities, do you really want to pay 3 more years of property tax, mortgage, and maintenance expenses if prices might stay flat or go down 20%? I personally would not. This is for a rental property, not your primary residence, because primary residence, like, who cares? You're just living it. But you're only really long real estate if you own more than one property. So these are some questions you should ask yourself. I can't answer them for you. I just ask myself, you know, these two questions, and I've come to the conclusion that I want to take some risk off the table. Now, once you've taken some risk off the table, the only way to make a lot of money, so more than a risk-free rate of return, is to take some risk and go short. So going short a specific stock or going short a sector through an ETF or the index through an ETF, that's probably the easiest. The stocks that usually get hammered the most during a downturn are high beta stocks with weak balance sheets and no earnings. So in other words, small cap names in the biotech and tech sectors often go down the most because their valuations are all based on speculative terminal values. Such companies will be relentlessly attacked on the short side as speculation grows. They'll eventually go out of business. And if you don't want to be so specific on stocks, you can look at the Russell 2000 Small Cap Index, TWM. It's quite popular in a bear market to short on. On the other hand, cash-rich mega-cap companies that have a long history of paying a dividend tend to go down the least. Think about names in the utility space and consumer staples space like AT&T and Procter & Gamble. They are not only highly profitable, but also have enough cash to last them through years of unprofitability. And given we know that the average recession only lasts 18 months, many investors seek safety, relative safety, by buying these utility and consumer staple stocks. So you don't want to really be shorting those because you also have to pay their dividend as well. You can also consider going long volatility. Volatility is an interesting instrument, which is, I think, very dangerous because it can spike very quickly. So the bottom line is there's a thing called decay in volatility ETFs like VXX. So back in August 1st, 2013, VXX was at a value of $1,090, and now it's only at $33. So that's a 97% loss. So many people have actually been shorting volatility in a bull market because in bull markets, things are quite stable and less volatile, and the VIX just goes down. But if you foresee a bear market coming along, volatility spikes upward. So for example, in February 2018, if you went long VXX, the volatility ETF, it doubled from $25.68 to $50 because the S&P 500 went down about 10%. So, wow, it's a 10x return on the movement of the S&P 500. A more conservative way to make money is to go long U.S. Treasuries. When the world is collapsing, investors seek the safety of U.S. Treasury bonds. You've seen that before in the financial crisis. You've seen it in the dot-com crisis. It's over and over again. Two of the most common ETFs to buy are IEF, which is the iShares 7-plus year Treasuries, and TLT, the iShares 20-year-plus Treasuries. Buying TLT will give you more upside when the markets are collapsing because there are longer duration bonds, which are more sensitive to interest rate changes. And I want you to notice that if you look at the post, TLT did spike from about $93 on October 1st, 2008 to $119 on December 2008. That's like a 29% return during the depths of the financial crisis. And there have been several more 20% plus gains trading opportunities since 2008 due to geopolitical risk, policy risk, and further stock market sell-offs. And it's also interesting to know that if you bought TLT at its high during the crisis, you're back to even today while earning a steady 3% annual yield. So, you know, it's not that big of a loss maker if you think about how big the bull market has run. You've just been collecting a 3% annual yield. Another idea is to go long gold. Gold is a hard asset that also tends to do well during a downturn. Even though gold generates no earnings and provides no dividends, it's a commodity that can be traded. So we're going back to caveman days where we are trading for our goods and services. The more dire the economic situation, the more caveman days people will feel as they panic and think, wow, what is a stock? I mean, it's actually nothing right now. It's not even a paper asset. It's just numbers on a screen. So with gold, you feel like, okay, at least you have a hard asset. So the most popular gold ETF is GLD, followed by IAU. And you can see from the gold GLD historical chart in the post, it did phenomenally well from October 1st, 2008 to early 2012. It was up 170% before fading as the bull market took off and investors said, hey, you know what? I want to own assets that actually provide earnings and dividends and growth. Just know that if you invest in gold for the long term, it's important to understand global demand and supply dynamics and take a view on the US dollar since gold is denominated in US dollars. So in other words, let's say we raise interest rates massively, more money will flow and buy US assets because it provides a greater return. So maybe gold will do well, but maybe not. It's an imperfect hedge. And then finally, you can consider going long yourself. So the people who don't lose their jobs in a recession are those who are too valuable to their firms. Therefore, build enough skills, build enough client relationships, because at the end of the day, your clients are your biggest asset, and build a lot of internal goodwill to be forever employed. Have you taken out a colleague recently? Have you told your manager how much you appreciate his or her support? You know, these are things that you can do on a weekly basis to develop internal goodwill. And a lot of people don't because, I don't know, they're too lazy or embarrassed. You are your largest moneymaker, most likely. Going to business school part-time for me was really good because not only did I build new skills, my firm felt like they had invested too much in me by paying majority of my tuition just to let me go in the recession. So they actually wanted 3 years of indentured servitude in return for their tuition assistance. And then besides getting a formal education, you should put some time out every day, hopefully, to think about ideas. Think about the creativity you once had when you were a kid that just got squashed when you entered society and when society told you you had to do this and do that even though you hated it. You know, maybe you'll write a counter-cyclical book about how to negotiate a severance or how to get laid off. I'm sure that that book is going to explode in terms of demand and sales when the market turns. Maybe you'll come up with a song that earns royalties, or maybe you'll start your own website about your favorite hobby. These extra engines could blast you off into financial space. Thanks to Financial Samurai, my overall net worth has outperformed the S&P 500 and San Francisco real estate since it began in 2009. I never thought Financial Samurai could be anything massive, but it's grown to a point where I don't really need my passive income anymore to survive. And my passive income has also grown as well. Again, thanks to the bull market because of discipline, saving, and investing. And as I reflect on all these thoughts and ideas in this podcast and in the post, we can conclude that shorting the market long-term is a losing proposition due to population growth, ever-growing demand, dwindling supply, and inflation. It's the same concept as renting long-term. If you rent long-term for the next 30 years, you're not doing yourself any favors because real estate, stocks, and many other investments are generally up and to the right performing. So if you want to short the market, you must be disciplined to short for only a short duration of time. It could only be a week if you're buying volatility, or at most 2 years if you're shorting the S&P 500, since history has said the average downturn is about 18 months. That was the duration of the downturn during the last economic crisis. And during this shorting period, you will likely lose money as well because your timing will be imprecise. So as a result, A lot of people try to build a portfolio of longs and shorts and rebalance their net exposure whenever they feel more bullish or more bearish. But in such a scenario, you might lose on your longs and shorts as well. So I think the bottom line for how to make money during a downturn really is to dial back risk. Not take on short risk, but dial back long exposure. So the easiest way to make money during a downturn, I think, is to go long cash or cash equivalents like CDs. Making a 3% guaranteed return while risk assets go down, let's say 30%, feels amazing. It probably feels more amazing, actually, than making a 37% return when your peers are only up 4%. And if you can concurrently build outside income sources while you de-risk, then all the better. So I hope this episode allows you guys to think about risk a little bit more and gives you an idea of what you will do during a downturn. For those of you who are under 40 or who have at least 20 years of work left in you, you might as well keep taking risk based on a more traditional asset allocation model, like let's say 70% stocks, 30% bonds when you're 30 years old. When you combine not spending money with long-term compounding, you will get rich beyond your expectations. Now, for those of you who are over 40 who have found your enough money and you can happily live off whatever the risk-free rate of return is at the moment, I would dial down risk. Why bother taking excess risk? Once you've made your money, the key is to keep it. So come up with a plan, because if you invest all your money all the time and you never spend it, what's really the point? My plan is to continue de-risking until I have no more than about 30%, maybe 40% of my net worth in risk assets by 2020. I personally have no problem just earning 3-4% a year after massively increasing my net worth since 2010. And it's going to be different for everyone. So find your comfort zone, talk about your finances with your family and your spouses, and come up with a plan. I think you'll be much, much happier if you do. Thanks so much, everybody.